Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I've got the pleasure and honor of being joined by Tom Heyman, who is president of Johnson & Johnson Development Corporation. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. Really a pleasure having you joining us. Thanks for giving us your time. Would you mind kicking off with give us a brief introduction to yourself, please?
Sure. I started at Johnson & Johnson in 1982 in their Janssen affiliate back in Belgium. I'm a lawyer by training and started in the law department of Janssen Pharmaceutica, primarily supporting licensing deals, distribution deals, joint venture deals, and so on. And then in 1990, I was asked to come to the United States as Vice President Corporate Development for Ortho, which was one of the other pharmaceutical companies within the J&J family of companies. And then shortly thereafter, in 1992, was asked to lead the business development group for the pharmaceutical group of Johnson & Johnson. I've done that job for more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then in 2015, started my role as the head of the Johnson & Johnson Development Corporation. And so most of my career here, Andrew, I have been involved in external innovation, primarily for the Pharm Group in my business development function, and now, of course, for the whole Johnson & Johnson Corporation in my role within JDDC. And so in that external innovation role, I was fortunate to be involved in many of the licensing deals and acquisitions that were done by the pharmaceutical group, by Janssen Pharmaceutica now, as it's called, since 1992. Been involved in bringing in products like an Imbruvica, like an Invokana, been involved in key acquisitions like Centocor, Alios Biopharma, Divotech, and so on, all these companies and licensing deals that were important in building the portfolio of Janssen Pharmaceutica.
Excellent. Great. And in terms of JJDC and that now, it's you're one of the oldest and leading corporate venture capital funds. Could you give us a bit of an introduction of the fund in terms of whether it's a GP-LP type structure and how it works, please?
Sure. So, like you said, you're absolutely right. JDDC is the oldest corporate venture group in healthcare. Was created 44 years ago, and it's amazing to see what foresight people had, management and leadership had at that moment in time, to start off with this corporate venture group at a time that there were not that many corporate venture groups, especially in healthcare. So we are a separate legal entity, reporting into Johnson & Johnson Innovation, because that's what we do. We are involved in external innovation through equity investment in young companies that have products or technologies or assets that might be important to one of our three sectors in the future. It's a small team that we have. It's not a fund. It's not a venture capital fund in the traditional sense of the world, So we do not have a certain amount of capital that being assigned to you, to us. We have access to J&J's balance sheet, and so we can make investments that are small to very large investments. The investments that we do go from a few $100,000 to sometimes more than $100 million, depending on the circumstances. But so it's not a closed end fund like you would see with a traditional venture capital group. Our investors mm-hmm. are based in the ecosystem where a lot of innovation is ongoing, and so they are together with the people in the innovation centers, in the four innovation centers that we have. So we have investors in Boston, in California, in London, and Shanghai. And then we have one person who's based in Tel Aviv because of the fact that Israel is such an important source of innovation, especially in the medical device sector.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. And what sort of key technologies and business models are you looking for opportunities in now?
Well, we are strategic investors in the first place. We are not financial investors. We do not invest in order to make money for Johnson & Johnson. We do invest in order to build the pipeline and the portfolio of the sectors within J&J. So we look at opportunities and making investment in those companies that have assets or technologies or platforms that are of interest to one of the three sectors, whether it's medical device, consumer, or the pharmaceutical group. Now, of course, we want to do this in a financially sound way, but again, and that is makes us different, it's strategy before financial outcomes of the investments that we do. So we work very closely together with the three sectors to look at opportunities and to determine whether those investments in those companies in the end would lead to either an acquisition or a licensing deal or a distribution deal, anything that will help us to build the pipeline for Johnson & Johnson and its three sectors. That's the way we think about it.
Okay, and some organizations have a challenge sometimes of when things are so close to the current business that I would say they're more tactical than strategic. Are you feeling that you're doing things that are further away from the business, which are going to be quite disruptive to it, maybe changing what the value chain is going to be because of new data, because of new devices, because of the new ways that consumers or customers are integrating with? But where do you feel you see your role as being a disruptor as opposed to just delivering what the business feels it needs at the moment?
Yeah, that's an excellent question here, Andrew, and that's something that we are going through as we speak, because I believe that JDC should start to play a more prominent role in looking at opportunities that do not neatly fit today within the strategies of the three sectors, but that are technologies that are potentially transformational towards the future. And trying to learn more about these technologies through an equity investment is something that is important. But in the end, it's something that it has to be in areas that has at least some support by key leaders within Johnson & Johnson, because we have learned from the past and from our own mistakes that if we would make an investment because it's something that we like, but it never finds a home within J&J because no one is interested to bring it in or they don't see the strategic intent at all, then it's financial. It's not strategic anymore. And these things then often do not give us the returns that we would be looking for. So investing in what you call white space, maybe that's not a great word, but in potentially transformational technologies is something that I think is an important role that we could play. But it's going to be then very important that either the executive committee or the management committee of Johnson & Johnson supports those kinds of investments. So that at least there is a knowledge that this is something that might be transformational for the future of Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, I've just published a book which is subtitle is called Innovative New Value Chains, where I believe new technologies and different startups are coming together now to create new business models, and I'll happily send you a copy of that, and
you can buy it
online in Amazon. So, you talk about these investments and do minority stake investments. Could you describe how you support those ventures that you invest in? Do you sit on the boards? Do you provide them with sales opportunities, et cetera?
Well, yes, and it depends on circumstances, of course. We are not sitting on the board of every company in which we make an equity investment. It's part of the negotiation. It depends how much money we are putting in. It depends on the syndicate. It depends on the other investors. Obviously, if you make a very, very small investment, then, of course, they're not going to agree that you would be sitting on the board. But in those companies where we have a significant investment, there we always ask to take a board seat or take a board seat and a scientific advisory board. And we take that very seriously because once we are on the board and once we have made that equity investment, we believe we have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that the company is successful. And so we will also bring in the resources of the corporation to help the company if they have issues or questions with respect to manufacturing, with respect to regulatory environment, with respect to pricing and reimbursement, with respect to access to retailers and things like that. Is we will help them out and put them into contact with the specialists that we have within the three sectors of Johnson & Johnson and help them out to really develop their technologies better, more successful, more efficiently, more effectively, because that's in the end our own interest, because for us in the end we are making that investment because we believe there's something there that might lead us to acquire this company or might lead us to do a licensing with this company. And so we do it for our own self-interest also, not just for the company, but it's also of interest to us, because then we're putting that company into a better position that we would be able to onboard them.
And could you illustrate what you've just described with one or two examples of recent investments that you've done?
Well, look, we have made a very important investment in a company that we have co-created with Verily, which is the healthcare arm of what is now called Alphabet, the Google before that. So we poured in a tremendous amount of money in order to build a new surgical robot. And we're putting in not just money, we have put in people, we have seconded people. They're working very closely with our Ethicon affiliate to develop instruments that would work with the robot. Another example, is when we made an equity investment in a company based in California that is developing a completely new breast pump. Very innovative. We have put those people in touch with retailers so that they understand what it takes to commercialize a consumer product like this one to the retail sector. So those are some of the things that that we do. And in all companies in which we have a board seat, we will bring in, or we will offer at least, the resources of Johnson & Johnson. Another example is we have an investment in a company that is developing a medical device to treat heart failure. They have a product on the marketplace in Europe to treat hypertension. They have some issues with respect to pricing reimbursement. Well, we have brought in our people to help them out in thinking through how to improve that situation. We have brought in our people to help them out in developing their clinical trials and their protocols. And so those are all the things that we do on a almost day-to-day basis when we make an equity investment in.
Excellent. So great examples there of the win-win for you and the new venture and giving strategic and financial benefits. Excellent overview. And what do you manage to spend your time doing when you're not venturing and probably flying between Belgium and New Jersey and all that? What do you do to relax, Tom?
Do I do relax some? Sure, I do. Is what I love to do, Andrew, is cooking. I love to cook. And I do everything that is involved with cooking, namely shopping, preparing the cooking, and then cleaning up. I do that too. It's a way for me to put my mind somewhere else. I do a little bit of skiing. I'm not very sporty. I'm not a very big sport activity guy, but I like to bike when I have an opportunity. I mean, it's not too hilly to go biking with my wife. So those are sort of things that I do. I love listening to music. So when I cook, music is on. So that's what's my mindfulness.
we've got a common interest in cooking, and my she's now 11 years old. My 11-year-old daughter has got a cooking channel because she's picked up some interest on that. So I'll send you a link to Ava May's kitchen. You could see some of her recipes and some of her stuff, Tom. Right. So there's some common interest there. So thank you very much, Tom, for giving us great insights on JJDC and on what you're covering there. Really appreciate your time, and thank you to you for sharing it with me and with the listeners.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew. It's a pleasure.